Welcome to the Trades Podcast, a podcast about the business of home improvement and promoting the trades to young adults.
Yes, yes. Happy days, everybody. This is the Trades Podcast. I am Danny.
And I'm Jeff. Exciting morning for us.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I was telling the boys earlier, it's going to be three different areas of the country that we're recording here. And we're just super excited to have Jeremy. Jeremy, how you doing?
Doing great. It's good to be here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you got the, I love it, the big spider in the back. Got the logo. Preventive pest control is in the house, everybody.
That's so,
preventive. That's right. Jeremy, introduce yourself to the Trades Podcast world. Let everybody know who you are, the company, and a little background.
Sure. Yeah, well, I'm Jeremy Logsdon, and my company here is Preventive Pest Control. We've got several locations across the country, and I'm a co-owner in this one with my partner, Greg, that actually started Preventive Pest Control back, I believe, 94, 95. Yeah, I should know that, but I don't. I can't remember. And so they got that started, and I came on board later as they started expanding, originally in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and over the years started expanding. And I sold for them one summer, and we just really hit it off well, and we started opening other locations. And this is the one that I have interest in here in Houston. And we actually opened up two in Houston in the summer of 2002. And Houston's such a big, huge, right, city. So we actually opened two. We just kind of call them East and West. And this is my location over here on the east side. There's another location on the west side. We work together a lot, but we're separate entities, and but we cover everywhere, you know, Houston and all surrounding areas with when we got started and even now. So I guess got started in the industry before I opened it up, just as a job. A friend of a friend was a branch manager for a bigger pest control company. Said, "Hey man, I think you'd be good at this." I just did it as a job. It was okay. It was great. You know, it's fine. But then later, this opportunity came up and we jumped on it. And
we want to thank our sponsor. Superior Floor and Cabinet Designs is one of the landmark family-owned businesses in Encinitas. Owner Cheryl Robertson, with years of customer experience managing her family's hardware and cabinet business in North Park, Cheryl Robertson and the Superior team dive deep to learn about your project and help you find the perfect solution for your flooring and cabinetry needs. Call today at 760-436-0900 or visit www.superiorfloors.com.
A friend of a friend was a branch manager for a bigger pest control company. Said, "Hey man, I think you'd be good at this." I just did it as a job. It was okay. It was great. You know, it was fine. But then later, this opportunity came up and we jumped on it, and we've been running with it. And we've grown to a pretty sizable company here in Houston, and it's been amazing since 2002. So we're going on 23 years now.
Wow. Yeah, that's huge. And the headquarters are in Houston, and that's where it all started.
For us, yes. Yeah, we got here in Houston for us. And I actually opened another location in Dallas back in, what was that, 2006 maybe, 2007? Had that for about 4 or 5 years, sold that, and we've just been running with this one since, still.
Wow. Wow. So you're building building areas, building clientele, and then you'll generally, it seems like you'll find someone that will kind of learn the ropes, learn the trade, and then kind of offer that business to them to kind of take it on from there.
Well, we just through management, you know, I started wanting to think about maybe expanding a lot more, you know, like a lot of these pest control companies do. And
yeah,
for us, we just, you know, there's a lot of merit to that. But that's also, it's such a big undertaking to do it and to do it well, right? So like I mentioned, Houston is such a big, big city. I mean, it's huge, right? And so when we started expanding, you thought it'd be a great idea. And it is for some, but for us, we just found that we were splitting our resources, and we, you know, we were just a drop in the bucket still here. And so let's just go back to focusing on, we had a good customer base here, and we just thought, hey, look, let's just continue to grow that base and continue to grow, you know, internally and in our own market. And that's worked out really well for us. You know, some people expand and they do great with it. we just said, hey, look, let's just focus on this, continue to grow this, focus on, because what we found was what was suffering in the expansion. There's so much going on and you can grow really fast, you know, through different marketing means. And what suffers is inevitably the quality of service suffers, right? And so so we just found, look, let's just focus more on this, focus on service, you know, focus on taking care of our customers. And that's done real well for us.
That's good. Yeah. And you had to be loyal to your Houston area. There's a lot of sports happening in Houston, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. This is a great, great sports town.
Nice. What's your favorite teams? Who's on the top of the list right there?
I mean, for the last, 7, 8, 9 years, the Astros are just king, right? Like we go big with the Astros here. I can send you some pictures and video later, but yeah, we go big. So in reference to you just showed me your Dodgers, I mean, Jose Altuve's 5'6". How can somebody 5'6" still be the daddy of all the Dodger fans and Dodger team, number of years? The Dodger killer, the Yankee killer.
He still does. Yeah, he's still. I don't know how he hits home runs.
I don't either. But man, he does, and it's so exciting. It's been really exciting over the last 7, 8 years. An Astro.
That's cool. I mean, I'm a lot of drama.
A lot of drama. 2017. All we can do is just own it and move on. But we got another one since. So
yeah,
it's been good.
That's funny. No, I mean, I baseball is a huge part of my life too, and definitely growing up with family and just the California being. Trust me, I'm San Diego's favorite LA Dodger fan, if there ever is one. So
yeah, that makes sense. Texans are on the rise here also, so that's exciting. Mm-hmm. We got a quarterback, CJ Stroud, got a great head coach, and so football is still king. It's a great sports town.
Yeah. So you love sports. Do you incorporate that into your culture with your work, with your coworkers, with everybody that works with you? Yeah,
absolutely. We talk sports a lot. We have our own, like every year, fantasy football league, within our branch here. And there's a lot of smack talk, all through the week, with that. Monday morning is, I say Monday morning, but it goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it's just nonstop. So we big sports. Sports is a big part of what we do, how we do it. Every time the Astros are in the playoffs, I buy all the flags to put on the windows of the truck, that fly around, drive around all over town with the Astros, supporting them. And I've got a full, when I say full, I mean full decked out suit Astros, blazer pants. Championship belt Astros. I got a Thor hammer Astro, thing. We go to the games. I come to work like that regularly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a big deal.
Wait, are you on this big screen? Like when they're posting them on TV?
Oh yeah. I mean, last game I went to, of course, absolutely. Cause I got the Astros overalls also, I get on the Jumbotron quite often.
Oh, that's huge. I imagine something that you guys might be doing is bringing the whole team to games or, to sporting events and all that.
Yeah, we'll take every year, especially if the Texans are playing on a Thursday night, I'll look ahead of time and get tickets for, a Thursday night game. That works out better. A few years ago, the tickets I bought for the Texans game on the Thursday night game was the same night as a World Series game. I couldn't get anybody to come to see the Texans with me. So we were like almost having to give them away. So I wore my combined Texans Astros, suit and gear and all that. And they happened to be playing the Eagles that night and the Texans and also in the Phillies in the World Series. And so, we lost the football game, but we won the World Series game. So we were, yeah, it was okay.
Well, tell us, how important is that? How important is that to bring the team together, outside of work? And, what does that do for you and your company? Yeah.
It's huge. So you hear this a lot from all kinds of companies, right? The bottom line is, especially in a service company, right? The bottom line is how you take care of your customers, right? So if you ask anybody in my businesses, what business are we in? They'll tell you we're in the people business. We do pest control, but we're in the people business. And there's so much that goes into on how you deliver to that customer. But one of the most important ones is having that service delivered by somebody who feels appreciated, who feels valued, and enjoys what they do, right? Not everything in pest control is fun, right? You're having to crawl underneath the house or, you know, it's 94 degrees with 75% humidity. It seems like you're walking in lava, you know, outside as you're doing your job. But if you have a team that enjoys what they do and who they do it with, it makes all the difference into how that service is going to be delivered to the customer, right? So all these things that we do, you know, and fantasy football and stuff like that is just one of the elements of it, right? I've always been of the thought that, man, if I'm here, you know, anywhere from 6 to 10 hours every day, I want to be somewhere where I enjoy to be at, right? So we do our best to create an environment where people enjoy doing what they do and being where they're at. So we incorporate a lot of things. You know, we have our every Tuesday morning technician meeting where the first 10 to 20 minutes of that 50 minutes is spent on nothing but recognition, prizes. You know, we recognize the guys that made sales and different numbers. We have a prize wheel they qualify for to spin prizes for, and they get, you know, things throughout the week they get spins for, and on the prize wheels, anything from a $10 gift card to 4 shots at $50, and the 4 shots is a cornhole. You know, they get 4 attempts, you know, to throw the cornhole, and if they land it, they get a $50 Visa card. And, you know, and when those guys hit that, you know, everybody's just cheering, going wild. You know, we have some on our social media, you know, videos and stuff like that. It's fun, right? It's great. And so it's important, right? It's important to build and create an environment where people enjoy being at. They look forward to, now, like I said, there's parts of the job that you don't look forward to. And it's not for everybody, right? But that's really important. And one other thing with that, Danny, is that it has to be an intentional effort, because your company is going to have a culture one way or the other, right? Whether you're doing things intentionally to create a certain type of culture or not, you're going to have a culture, right? And it's really important to be intentional with how you want that culture to be, because it makes an impact. It definitely makes a difference.
Absolutely, Jeremy. One of the things I think is really challenging, you probably have microcultures in there. So the office staff works together in the office all day, so they are like their own little culture. And then you've got all the guys out in the field or gals come together in the mornings and create a great environment for them. Then how do you carry over that culture to why they're out in the way and working by themselves separately?
That's a great question and statement. So every Tuesday morning we have that hour with our service guys. Every Friday morning we have 50 minutes to an hour with our CSRs in the office. And the first 10 sometimes 20 minutes of that meeting with the CSRs every Friday morning is personal professional development. Nothing to do with pest control. We'll watch a video. Most of the time we'll watch a video or we'll have an article, and it may be how to learn a new skill. It may be how to overcome fear. It may be, just all kinds of different topics. And we watch it and we say, hey, so what'd we get from that? What'd you learn from it? And then at the end, we tie it to, how can this help us professionally? If we just watch something on how to learn a new skill, right? Little, the TED Talks, you know, they're on YouTube. They have this little sub channel called TED Ed, and they're like 5-minute animated things on anything you could, you know, possibly think of. And so a lot of times we watch some of those about you know, how your brain works, how you learn a new skill, how to overcome objections, what happens when you feel rejected, you know, just things like this that are helping to build character. Because one of our, in our mission statement, it says that a company is nothing but a collective character of the people that represent it. So we just try to build people so that they can represent, you know, who we are better to our customer. Again, the bottom line is how we serve that customer, right? Whether it be on the phone or whether it be in person. So we really take very serious the whole people building part. We're in the people business. We want to build people. If they're here for 15 years, that's great. You know, we want to have the best version of themselves. If they're here for two and move on, we hope that we've helped to build them to be a better person for that next chapter in their life, right? So I think to answer your question there, Jeff, that's what we try to do to help have that carry on to where they're not in a direct supervision role, like when they're tending to that customer, right?
Absolutely. So it sounds like, to paraphrase that for you, you make as big of an impact while they're around you so that that impact carries over when they're out there on their own and maybe as
absolutely. When people feel like that they are a part of something, right? Like when they feel like that they're a part of a, you know, a team, you know, that we're trying to accomplish something. And our thing is like, look, we're not the best pest control company in the world. You know, I'm not an entomologist. I love bugs. We study bugs all the time. All of our guys are not entomologists. There are companies here in Houston that do have teams of entomologists, right? But what we can do is we can be the best service company in all of Houston. That's what we can control. And so that really is what we challenge our guys to. And we have a part of our Tuesday meeting where it's called the morning pat on the back. And again, we have some videos of this on our social media where we just take a collection of reviews that have come in from that previous week. And we make a big deal out of it. I have tambourines I hand out, you know, and I play a recorder that I don't know how to play. And my assistant service manager, Phoenix, will just read through, you know, 10 or 12 reviews, but then we'll get, you know, the pat of the back of the week goes to, you know, and he'll save it up for, you know, for the best review that came in, and they get a spin on the wheel. And it's who we are. Right. So, it's really exciting. And the thing is, I just enjoy it. I couldn't work somewhere that was not as high energy, you know, is what we have it.
Yeah, you can blaze through a safety meeting and here's what you need to start getting done. And we're having a problem with this. That don't carry over in a very positive attitude with the guys, you know? It's like, come to the office, get a burrito, and get yelled at. Don't go very far.
And you can even, so we even try to make those, you know, those are things necessary, like the safety parts, you know, you got to do it, right? So you don't have a choice. You know, these are the safety guidelines. And, you know, what we found is that when you do it the right way, and we're not 100% doing it the right way, but when you train and empower them and just, you know, send them out, but then hold everybody accountable, you know, equally. You know, we play hard, work hard, and everybody's accountable. And we give everybody, you know, those opportunities to succeed or fail. But you can even train on safety stuff in a positive way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love everything you're saying, because it's, you know, you're people business before a pest control business. You know, you're inside people's homes. You're catching them at probably one of the worst times that you could probably ever catch them. You know, they got a snake. I'm sure there's definitely a lot more critters out there in Houston than there is in California. But
roaches, you know, just all that. Yeah, you're right.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
yes, they are. Yes, it is.
So you're catching them at this moment in their life, you know, where it's like, man, I don't care what you do or what you say, you know, but just help me get rid of this problem. And you know, And it's pretty much your job to, you know, maybe calm them down a little bit, advise them towards the right direction. Maybe even suggest something that may not be something that they thought, you know, because of their minds going, you know, a million miles an hour. And that's a great way for, you know, one, when you keep it lively at work with your employees and the team, to be able to, you know, one, have a sense of humor, have some fun while you're doing it, because you know, you're going to catch someone on their bad day. And just hearing you guys, and it sounds like, you know, like you said, you know, you get some great reviews, and when you get those reviews, it just obviously just kind of transpires over to more of like, this is what we're doing. We're doing the right thing, you know?
Yeah. And I think the thing that really brings me, trying to think if there's anything I enjoy more than just recognizing our people. You know, people love to see their name in lights, you know, they just do. The recognition goes a long way. And it's genuine, right? It's like we have a, you know, and most every company probably does, but we have a little group me, you know, where everybody's messaging all through the day. And, you know, when the office gets something comes in, you know, positive for somebody, they'll shoot it out and say, "Hey, great job, Chris. You know, so-and-so just called about the great service you gave them, you know, earlier today," or, just shouting people out, putting their name in lights really important. And, you know, talk to other people, and or when guys come to work here and they just mention, "Man, you know, I've never worked a place like this." I just always wonder why, like, why don't managers take the time to do that? It doesn't take a long time, but it is an intentional effort, right? And I feel like it goes a long way for how much, you know, your employees would appreciate it.
Yeah, I love the culture. Seems like, again, over since, you know, you said it was in the 90s or that was started out?
Well, my branch started in 2002.
2002, perfect. Yeah. Almost the 90s, almost.
Just, yeah. Almost.
Yeah. But perfect. Because, I mean, that's a big part. I imagine between that time till now, obviously, you know, things have shifted, cultures and ways of doing business. So let's get down to that side of things. So what you do with preventive pest control, it's right in the name, pest control, but kind of dive a little bit deep. What do you guys specialize in something specific, or is there something that like kind of helps you guys stand out from the area?
Great question. So when we first got started, we just stuck with strictly pest control, right? Let's just try to make sure we nail this, right? Get and lock in and do it well. And so after about 4 years, you know, Houston is a very high pressure termite area, right? And so after about 4 years, we started making that investment into learning more, because if we're gonna do something, I didn't think I was OCD, but I am in certain things, you know, and one of them is, if we're going to do something, I want to be the expert, right? Like, I don't want to do something halfway or, you know, just, I want to know as much as possible about it. So we started investing in, you know, going to training seminars and, blah, you know, that sort of stuff. And so we started doing termites in about 4 years after we got going on the pest control side. And I'm sure we'll probably talk about that a little bit later, about the evolution of the termites here in Houston since then to now. But termites have become just a huge part of our business. Same thing with rodents. We specialize in rodents. We do more rodents every year than we do termites, which would surprise a lot of people. It still surprises me when I look at our, you know, numbers at the end of the year. Each year, there's just a lot of rats, rodent work here to be done. And bed bugs, the bed bugs have been really interesting, because our bed bug work has really dropped over the last 3 or 4 years for whatever reason. But
you're doing a good job.
Well, yeah, hopefully, hopefully. So when you say we specialize, I'm really passionate about termites because of the termite situation that we have here with the Eastern Subterraneans, or our native termites, and then we'll probably get into it a little bit later. The Formosan termite kind of takeover that's happened over the last 8 or 10 years here in Houston. And I just really enjoy, you know, learning, continuing to learn about, you know, these pests.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's where, you know, shifting into the different areas of pest control, like that's something I never thought of like climate or even just how, you know, these, you know, bugs just like they have over thousands of years where they have their own evolution where they adjust to even some chemicals I've heard.
Yes.
The climate. And, you know, what's been that process like? How do you guys stay on top of that education?
Yeah, so different pests, like for instance, roaches, you know, they'll build a tolerance to, you know, certain products. And so that's why it's really important to just rotate, you know, the type of baits you use, the different modes of action so that, you know, because if you're just using a certain product, it, you know, for roach cleanouts at, you know, restaurants or, you know, commercial building or even homes consistently, you know, it kills, you know, 95%, you know, of the, you know, roaches, for instance, in a home. But the ones that bait doesn't affect, they're the only ones left to breed with each other, right? So then they, for whatever, you know, genetic mutation that they may have, you know, they've have a resistance now to that product. So the only ones that are left breeding are all ones that have that same type of trait. And so then they become, as a population, it's harder to control that roach population. So that's why it's really important to rotate, you know, your baits for certain insects. But then you mentioned Danny, just this kind of like evolution of insects and different, you know, changes that happen. This is what happened with our termites, you know, for thousands and thousands of years, our native termites are these Eastern subterranean termites. And, but then these Formosan termites, which is an Asian invasive species here, brought in most likely through the ship channel, because people don't realize, I don't think, how close Houston is to the coast. You know, Houston is just, you know, 40, 45 minute drive, you know, from downtown Houston to Galveston, you know, to the Gulf of America. So we're close, really close. And so the ship channel is really what put Houston on the map industrially. And so lots of stuff comes in from all over the world every day. And so sometime, I don't know exactly when, 30, 40 years ago, a shipment of what they believe are like railroad ties from Asia delivered here, and very similar climate, hot, you know, wet, humid, for these termites to thrive. And these Formosan termites have just, over the last 8 to 10 years, we've gone from seeing them occasionally to now this is the predominant termite that we see and deal with in Houston. Just over the last, like I said, 8 to 10 years, it's been incredible on our side of town. These guys are nasty. They're bad. You can talk more about that if you want. Or
explain why they're bad. Compared to like the Eastern subterranean termites, they both live in the ground, right?
They both live in the ground. Both live in the ground, and when you take the worker, so termites have different, you know, caste, like, you know, responsibilities and that the termites have. The worker termites of both of these termite colonies or termite species look identical. So you have to look at the soldiers of the termites and alates or the swarmers. But here's the key difference is this. Our native termite colony size, how many termites are in this family, you know, this big colony, would range anywhere from 250,000 to 500,000 termites. Well, these Formosan termites, their average colony is 4 to 10 times the size of that. So you're talking about a difference of maybe 300, 400,000 termites in this colony to up to 5 million plus in the Formosan colony. So they're about the same size. But the volume, the number of termites is so much greater. So if a Formosan termite colony were to start, you know, munching on your home, as opposed to an Eastern, you know, or native termites, it's just because of the sheer volume, the damage they can do is considerably faster and a lot more severe. And so you just have to be, and we found that how to treat them, you just have to do it differently to do it well.
That's good insight. 24 hours a day.
24 hours a day. They never stop. Right. That damage is going on nonstop. And it's just wild. The things we'll continue to learn and continue to see, you know, that we learn from about these termites.
Nice. Yeah. And it seems like you guys are right on top of it. And, you know, you guys are, you know, you're well known right there in the Houston community. How do you offer these services to anybody that's calling or, you know, returning clients? Because like you said, it seems like it's a pretty big issue out there. So seems like it's something that people would need a consistent type of service.
Yes.
What do you guys offer to them? How do you guys I wouldn't say price things out, but what do you offer?
Like how to promote or market or like what our service plans are?
I saw a couple of things. It was like a program, like a protection program.
Yes. Yeah. So we have different programs for what people may need and what, and just like the talk about the insects have different tolerances, right? To products, people have different pest tolerances, right? So some people just, they see roaches like, we live in Texas, I feed them, they're pets, who cares, Whereas other people are like, I do not want to see a single one. And so you have different tolerances. So we have different, packages, that we provide to help customers out. So we do have like a basic plus, a premium, where if they just want our basic quarterly pest control program, where we, do a power spray, 2 feet up, 4 feet out around their home, around the perimeter of the home, dusting weep holes. This is the thing here in Texas that maybe you don't have in California. The bottom row of bricks between every like second or third brick usually is open. There's no mortar there. And that's to allow the homes to ventilate and breathe because it's so humid and so hot, mold can build up, inside the structure. So that it's open for ventilation, but it's also open for roaches and spiders and ants, right? So we will dust. We have an insecticide dust we put in those weep holes that sit there. And as they come in and out, it helps to knock them out. And take care of the things inside their home as they need it as well. But in addition to that, we also have mosquito programs that are monthly. Some companies do it either every 3 weeks or every 4 weeks, where we do a mosquito treatment around their home. You have to do that a little more often than the general pest control. We have termite programs. What we found to be the most effective for these Formosan termites especially are the Centricon bait systems, the bait stations you put in the ground, around the home. So we have a lot of customers, that have our pest control, they'll have our mosquito control, they'll have our termite stations around their home. And then they'll have a rodent exclusion done on their home to keep the rodents out. And I cannot tell you, how just appreciative we are for each one of them, that whether they have just a regular pest control or everything, on their home. And we want to show that, right? Each time we show up to their home with every touch point, we call it. Every touch point needs to be something that exceeds their expectations. So,
yeah. And you mentioned the homes. Are you working commercial also? Do you help commercial businesses or commercial areas?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. We have about a little under 25% of our total business is commercial. And that's something we're always trying to grow, right? So we have like 3 full-time inspectors that go out and take care of, that go out and do bids and are searching for commercial accounts. But we love our commercial accounts, right? They're great to have. They're a challenge, sometimes because there's different things that you have to consider and look for and document, that sort of thing. But they're great. So yeah, we love and would love to have a lot more, commercial work.
Nice, nice. And right here at the Trades Podcast, we're always looking to promote out there to the younger generation and, pieces of education and little gems that we can put out there. What's your, if someone were to come out of high school and want to learn a little bit more about your company, the trade, is it easy to get into this space of pest control in Houston, or what's that transition look like? Yeah.
This is a great question, Danny, because my son just graduated high school. One of my boys just graduated high school and his first day starting with us was just last week, right? So he's still in his training, right? And he's really, really enjoyed it. And you know, whether this is something he wants to do, you know, going forward or not, it's just something he's excited to do for right now. But it's not difficult, you know, to get into the pest control industry. You know, we have ads up right now, you know, looking for people that want to come in and whether they have experience or not, you know, we if they're just the right, if they, you know, meet our qualifications and we lay it out, we're very, very clear with what our expectations are. And if they want to take on that challenge, we'll, you know, we'd love to have them. But you can, you know, get hired on at, you know, any, there's lots of pest control companies to hire. But to get started, the industry is regulated by the Texas Department of Agriculture. So it is a licensed industry. So in order to be out servicing on your own, you have to go through these minimum training standards that the state requires. And then we have additional ones that we require as a company. But the minimum standards are 20 hours classroom, 40 hours on the job with the licensed individual, and then an 8-hour, I think a category specific class you have to take through the state before you can take a test to get your apprentice, you know, your apprentice registration. And then you can be out technically servicing on your own. From there, then you need to get licensed. And then if you want to be a business owner and have people working under you, you have to get what's called a certified applicator license. And that's a challenge for people that just look at me and be like, I know Jeremy, he's not that bright. If he can do it, I can do it. You know, I get that call so many times over the years, and I don't blame him because I'm not very smart. I just get passionate about things. And so what always stops people from starting their own right away is that licensing barrier, because you do have to have that certified applicator license where you have to work under someone else's, you know, you have to get your apprentice, your license, and then for a certain amount of time before you can go and take that certified applicator test to be out on your own, right? So it's not very difficult to just get started in the industry, a little bit more of a barrier to kind of be out running on your own. But I have to say, I love it. Like, I love the industry that I'm in. Like, you initially, you know, when you're just starting out your business and you're answering phones while you're spraying, you know, while you're trying to explain to a customer, you know what, you have so many different hats on, you know, and you're just trying to get through it, trying to make sure, you know, all your services are covered and, you know, all of a sudden now this truck won't start. Why won't that truck start? You know, all those things you have to deal with. But as you get through that, the part that I just love the most is my people, like my team, but then just learning, you know, this is such an interesting industry. I mean, I could go on about those Formosan termites, you know, the takeover, you know, because it's just been so interesting. You know, we've gone to a rodent academy up in New York. And yes, there is a rodent academy in New York and Dallas that we've gone to. And it's just this 4-day boot camp, you know, of rodents. And I love those things even now, you know, 23 years into it. I just continuing loving to learn so that we can in turn come back, train, so that we can provide a better service, right? That touch point for our customer at the end.
Yeah.
I love it. There's a lot of great people and there's a lot to learn in our industry.
Yeah. And it seems like you said, like, I mean, you've got the family in it now too.
Yes.
Is he the only
for a while in the office? My other son worked for a while, and then this is my third, you know, kid that's in it, you know, and they both may have a role in it later, but they're off doing different things. But it's a family business, which I've also loved about what we do and how we do it.
Wow. Congrats on that. That's awesome. You. One, to convince your kids to work for you is one thing, but
yeah. Yeah.
That's super cool.
They just think the dad goes to work all day in his Astro suit and didn't really do anything. So that all you do for work? You know, and then they come here with me for a day and they're like, whoa, there's a lot to go on. I'm like, Yeah.
Well, and being that you kind of explain, you know, what it takes to get into the industry and even to work for you, are you hiring? What's that look like? What would be the process of someone being hired through your company? What steps that they would kind of start at, you know, say from out in the field at the bottom?
You start there. Is that what you're saying? So start with like our technicians.
Yeah.
So right now, we have ads on Indeed, right? That, you know, we've tried so many different avenues, but one of the ways that's been most successful is when our employees have someone that they recommend. That's where we found some of our best people, because you have your core, right? Your team, and they know what the expectation is. They know what, you know, what the environment's like. And a lot of times, you know, your own team, they'll have some best friends, but like, oh no, I'm not going to recommend this guy, you know, cause he won't cut it. I know, but then when they pull somebody in and say, hey, look, this is my best friend. I vouch for this guy, you know, and you know, those are our favorite, right? So when our team can bring people in, but otherwise, you know, we have job ads up on Indeed, and I'll tell you this, Jeff and Danny, it's not easy finding people to fill our spots. I mean, it's difficult. It's been difficult. And that's industry wide. You know, I have a lot of friends that are, you know, that own other pest control companies, even in my own market. Just a side note, which I have a lot of side notes. I see squirrels, you know, run off and I just get on a tangent, but I love partnering with guys, even in my own market. And I know that, you know, some people think that that's weird, but I reach out and we found some new bug, whatever, you know, we found a termite that I'd never run into before. And I made sure to call several other pest control companies here in town to make sure that they knew. Say, hey, look, have you guys seen this? We just ran into this. No, I haven't. What is it? And I just shared, hey, just be on the lookout, right? So anyways, but when I talked to them about filling, you know, spots, everybody's in the same spot. They're like, man, it's really difficult. Find guys that want to work. And you know, you're outside, you know, in the elements, it's different because they're in a truck, right? So they have their own office, right? We don't meet up every day. We used to, but you know, we pandemic, we just start having guys leaving from their homes in the morning. So there's a lot of self-discipline that's required, you know, once you're trained to get the job done, right? And not everybody can do that. And that's fine, right? Some people clock in, they like to be here and know exactly what to do. And when do I get off? You know, when do I take a break? And, you know, that's great. So for this, it requires somebody that, you know, that we say that just at the end of the day, have to have a passion for taking care of the people that's on their route for that day, and can have the discipline, you know, to stay on task and get everything done. And regulations are a big thing. So remember to wear your gloves, right? Remember that, you know, when you do a German roach clean out, you have to fill out that little report, you know, before you close your ticket out, you know, yeah. So that's what we look for. And it can take a while, you know, to find people that can do that. But then we also have other spots with our inspectors, you know, that are really high income earning positions. We just brought on a new guy that I love. Shout out Philippe. You know, he's just done an outstanding job. He was with a company out in California selling pest control, and they moved here. And man, I'm just grateful, you know, that we connected to have him on board. And so he brings a lot of really good experience already to, you know, to what we're doing. And my job and my goal is to just plug him in to where in this environment that he can meet personal, you know, what he needs from it, right? Because if he's getting what he needs from it, like, you know, financially and money's not everything, right? He just, you know, like for people, they want to feel, like I said, be a part of something, to feel valued. And so, you know, if I can help him reach all of his goals, you know, here with at Preventive, then, you know, then the business part takes care of itself. You know what I mean? And that gets me real excited about that. So,
that's huge. That's huge. And I think it's a key piece where, you know, when you have that easy access to, one, your knowledge, the company resources, and, you know, just that team aspect of knowing that you can reach out to anybody, and that seems like they would want to help you out and advise you, guide you in the right direction. Imagine someone coming, like you said, Philippe from California, coming to Texas, you know, moving to a whole brand new state, brand new city, brand new company. That transition for a lot of people can be a little tough.
Yes. Did I mention that I love that guy? I think I did. Yeah, I love that guy. I had so many great people. When my son came here last week, you know, I'm like, My son's name Jackson. I'm like, Jackson, oh, meet my main guy over here, Marquis. Oh, hey, wait, hey, come over here. Anthony, come here. This is my boy, Jackson. You know, and Jackson just like, oh, okay, hey, thank you. But I just, you know, it's your people, man. My people, just, I just get so excited, you know, seeing them succeed. And you just want to do whatever you can to just help them, you know, to reach the goals and what they need, you know, in their lives. That again, financially is a big part of it, but it's not everything, right? So you want them to be in a place where they feel, you know, that they make a difference, right? That they're doing something big.
Yeah, absolutely. And going on that topic of kind of making things easier for everybody, have you seen technology kind of shift within the pest control space where that's kind of making things easier? And are new candidates getting more, are they more familiar with technology that's incorporated within the company?
Yeah, Danny, that's a great question. And now I think that if my older brother and some real close friends were to hear me on a podcast talk about technology, they would laugh. Yeah, and they would say, what are you doing? You should say nothing. You should say, I have no idea. You know, and move on, because I'm not a techie guy, right? But we've gone from printing tickets, you know, on the dot matrix printer with an envelope, you know, paper clip to everyone, and you know, taking like zero credit cards. You know, no one had a card on file. You know, no one did that. You know, in 2002 when we got started, and we probably were still printing them longer. You know, 2 years longer than we should have been, right? But yeah, technology is a critical role for now. Let me say this. I'll say this. Not all technology, right? So not all technology. We've had so many companies and so many different softwares. And when we went to Pest World in December in Denver, October, sorry, this last October, went to Pest World in Denver, and there must have been 400, you know, tables and booths, whatever. And I think half of them were software things, you know, that they wanted to introduce and sell, you know, to companies. And they have software to do everything, but not everything makes it more efficient. So you really have to look at the scale of your operation, what you're really wanting to get out of it. And for the cost, is it really going to, you know, bring added value? Because if you're, you know, it's really cool to have gadgets and apps and, or this new program to do whatever, but you know, if it's not if you're having to pay for it and it's not exceeding in value than what you paid, then you don't need it, right? You're better off without it. But certain key things have been really neat. Like, you know, the software we use helps routing to be more efficient. You know, the GPS trackers on, you know, our trucks, we just, you know, used to just have the little plug-in ones, but now we have ones that, you know, have the, and I'm not saying anything that's revolutionary. Most every service company has these as well. You know, the cameras that front-facing, back-facing gives a score. And as part of our Tuesday tech meeting, we throw everybody's scores up on the board. You know, we don't hold back, you know, because we have an expectation of where our drivers need to be. And and when guys are below that standard, they're held accountable, you know, for, and that's for their safety as well as our you know, our, to reduce our liability, right, with the type of driving that may be going on out there. So yeah, technology is definitely something that is, can really, really help your business. But not all of it, right? So just have to be really careful, you know, about, because it can be expensive. Say it again, Jeff.
The technology is not the end all of fixing things.
It's not. Yeah, it's not. And you just have to know how to use it, you know, to have it benefit your business.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that comes from, you know, experience over, you know, since 2022, right there, you know, specifically. I'm sure you saw a lot of software be presented to you and different things to be incorporated. But like you said, you know, really look at the numbers, really look at what it's going to do. And is it going to be ultimately be a part of your mission, which it really sounds heavily is providing the best service, you know?
And I will say this, you know, AI, right? That, you know, I, this is something we've started to really look into. Again, I need to learn, you know, so much more about with, you know, how to do it. And, but I do see even in our marketing, how, you know, your searches, Google, you know, our websites are starting to get fewer hits, you know, as opposed to last year. And one of the reasons I think is that our strategy and on our with our marketing was, you know, SEO and, you know, keywords and all that sort of thing. But now the you know, Google has shifted to these AI summaries, ChatGPT. So your websites need to be more receptive to that and more relative in that way. So I think that that's going to be a really, really big influencer on winners, you know, that they're going to win this marketing game. And those that are already doing it, you know, are so much further, you know, ahead of the curve than those like us right now that are, you know, getting involved with it.
I think that's huge. Yeah. AI has definitely been a topic on our part where, you know, the same thing where, you know, where can it be specifically used? Obviously AI can't take over the job of, you know, dropping right. some chemicals and killing some roaches and some rodents, but on the marketing side, from a business perspective, from a business owner, or even someone that might be listening to this that works within the office of a construction or a trade, that they understand that technology is a big tool to be used. And
really,
like I said, as long as it's used, you know, properly and within, you know, the structure of the business.
Yeah, it is. And I think that not only for marketing stuff, but I think I was looking, you know, just if you were to run, you know, your QuickBooks numbers and different things, I want to have a setup to where maybe it can help me to pinpoint things that are maybe missing so far as inefficiencies, you know, that we just may be overlooking. But you know, if you can just continuously be looking at those things to see where you can tie up some loose ends, it adds up and makes a difference in your business bottom
awesome.
Line.
Yeah, you might have just given us another recording idea to get someone on to talk about the accounting and AI, how that kind of incorporates for businesses and stuff too. So, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Well,
sure,
Jeremy, this has been awesome. I mean, one, to learn about Houston, the termites that are out there, the different rodents, different type of culture that you guys, you know, that you have definitely built up over the years, and you know, truly a family business. So. That's awesome to hear, and just, you know, congratulations on all the success that you've had so far and everything that's coming too. So,
well, I really appreciate it. It's been great, to be here, for the invitation to be here with you guys. And I gotta tell you, I just get fired up, you know, talking about my company, but also just talking about my people, right? Yeah. I just think about the guys that work for me, the ladies in the office, and, man, I cannot say enough how much we appreciate our customers, but man, there's just this special place, you know, for the people that are part of this company to make it what it is. Cause I'm not spraying every house, right? I'm not talking to every customer. And so, my team, you know, the guys that are out there doing it, you know, the people answering the phones in the office, I just can't say enough how much we appreciate them. And, you know, that's what we're just keep working towards, making sure that we are in the people business, you know, just making sure that is in the right place with what we do and how we do it.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, we want to keep everybody in the office busy. So shout out the business phone line. Where can people reach out to you?
Yeah.
Whether it's I know you said a couple of job opportunities on Indeed, but if they just reached out directly to you guys. What's all that contact info?
Yeah. So our website is preventivepesthouston.com, and you could submit something on there, but also if you want to or can call us directly, my office number is 713-946-9202. And I would love to hear from you. You know, also just anybody that has pest questions, you know, or whatever, you know, submit it, you know, through our site, and we'll look at it and get back with you. And I always tell our guys if I can't find the answer, if I don't know the answer, I have a whole field of people over the years I build relationships with, you know, people that design the products that we use, the people that are constantly testing them out, and other innovators in the industry that I have built relationships with. We can always find an answer. And those are actually some of the funnest things to do, you know, is to kind of chase those pest control mysteries, you know, that we find from time to time.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, everybody, this is the Trades Podcast. We were here with Jeremy with Preventive Pest Control. Thank you so much, Jeremy, and we'll catch everybody at the next one.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. Jeff and Danny, thank you.